Jesus said, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Here in the book of Matthew in chapter 19 at verse 29, Jesus speaks of one of the great blessings in life, that of having a loving family, a source of love and acceptance, a stronghold of support and encouragement. But here Jesus tells us that we're not limited to the blessings of a physical family. He hints, no doubt, at the existence of an extended family. And that is the benefit of leaving all to follow him. If you notice the context, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew in chapter 19, verse 23, Jesus said, surely I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the reason why is because people tend to trust in riches rather than trust in God. And of course, if the rich can't be saved, then who can be saved? Was a question that was asked. And of course, the text goes on to say, Jesus tells them, he says, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Peter was the answer. He said, Lord, we have left all and follow you. What do we get? And this was the part of Jesus' answer. He says, surely I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And here again, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father, mother, wife, or children or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. If you look at the book of Matthew in chapter 12, verse 50, as well as Mark in chapter 10 at verse 30, you'll see parallel passages that simply help us to understand the blessings that we enjoy as God's people. And that's somewhat of an introduction to our lesson this morning as we talk about blessings of a godly family. First of all, I want to introduce this series of lessons that we're talking about, and that is blameless living. Before I do that, I want to bow, of course, and offer my thanks to God. I thank God for every good and perfect gift. Matthew 5:45 tells us that God makes the sun rise on the good and the evil. So I'm thankful for the providence of God, his general providence over all mankind, and I'm grateful for the special providence of God. Ephesians 1:3 says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so I'm thankful that God has blessed us with everything that we need. And I'm grateful that we can be together this morning as we assemble on the first day of the week to worship our God, and I'm glad to be with you. I'm grateful for the prayers that have been offered on my behalf, my beloved wife, Bessie, and my daughter, Tanubia. We're glad to be with you, and of course, renew our relationship with Mike and his lovely bride, Stephanie. And I know there are others that we know, and it doesn't matter where you go. You meet people that you know, and oftentimes you meet people that know somebody that you know. And so we're certainly glad to be with you in these series of lessons entitled Blameless Living. If you look in your Bible, this is where the basis of this theme comes from. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, record the book of Acts in chapter 16. Paul had said, as you've obeyed not only in my presence, also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, the willing to do his good will. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. Listen. That you might be sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I might rejoice the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We want to cross that finish line. And in order to do that, we're going to have to learn how to live blameless lives. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Genesis in chapter 17 at verse 1. So do you think he was telling Abram not to ride on a camel and to be sure that his whole journey was on foot? Obviously, that was not the idea at all. What comes to your mind when you think about walking? It's a metaphor that is used throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Genesis. The Bible tells me that there were two men who walked with God. Enoch was one of them. Noah was the other one. And a walk is not static. It means movement. What do you think God means when he says, walk before me and be blameless. We walk before God in his presence with nothing to hide. That's the phrase that I want to think about this week. Do you think it's possible for Christians to try to hide from God? What do we mean by blameless? The Hebrew word is tamim, and is used of Noah in the book of Genesis in chapter 6 at verse 9. The root meaning is whole, integrated, as we put all of our energy into one pursuit. Abraham was to be wholly dedicated to God's cause, not free to live like the rest of the Canaanites around him, nor to be half-hearted in his service. And James captures the meaning of this in his epistle in the book of James in chapter 1 at verse 4, when he says to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so the call for blameless living is the call for wholeheartedness with the single-mindedness of an athlete, if you will. We make it our aim to please God, and we do this by walking before him with nothing to hide. So having said that, let us begin our study this morning as we talk about blessings of a godly family. What I'd like to do is, first of all, take you to the very beginning in our Bibles. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. Genesis is about beginnings or origins. In the book of Genesis in chapter 1, we're going to find the origin of the universe. We're, of course, introduced to God. God is eternal. He is before all things. We find a general statement at the end of the book of Genesis in chapter 1, when the Bible says at verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created this universe in six literal 24-hour days, and he rested. He ceased from his creation. The Bible then goes on to tell me in chapter 2, we've got somewhat of a detailed description. We know that God created man on the sixth day, but look at Genesis in chapter 2 at verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. But I want you to notice, after God had created this universe, I want you to notice again on the sixth day in detail. The first thing that God saw that wasn't good, verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. God solved that problem by creating the woman. And what I want us to do is pick up in our Bibles in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought it to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. The first thing I understand here is one of the greatest blessings that God has given humankind is marriage. Marriage is simply defined as a covenant relationship between a man and woman. And what this helps us to understand, folks, first of all, is marriage is of God. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And marriage is permanent. And even though today we've got people who want to redefine marriage, and even though there are many people who are taking advantage of the marriage benefits, the Bible tells me the greatest benefits, and those who are godly people, they recognize the blessing of marriage. I want you to stop and think for just a moment here, folks. Look very carefully at verse 24. Because when the Bible says a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, they shall become one flesh. He wasn't talking about Adam. Adam didn't have a father and mother. He was talking about for all times. Now I want us to fast forward, if you will, to the Sermon on the Mount before we get to the book of Matthew in chapter 19. Matthew in chapter 5. Here in this Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about the character of a citizen of the kingdom and the many blessings that attend those who live this kind of life, I want you to notice what he talks about. Sexual purity is the thought here. And he goes on to help us to understand how the danger of lust threatens the human relationship. He tells us, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus says not only is divorce sinful, he says that which causes oftentimes that is also sinful. And so in a society which is overwhelmed with sexual enticements, it is important to be reminded of God's instructions regarding sexual purity. And so again in verse 32, but I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, marriage is of God. It is between a man and a woman, and it is for life. Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and 3 also affirms, of course, the permanence of marriage. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus was asked, can a man divorce his wife for any reason? He points us all the way back to the very beginning. The point I'm trying to make, folks, very simply, is one of the blessings of a godly family is those who understand the teachings of the Bible. They live in harmony in that relationship, and they can walk before God and not be ashamed, with nothing to hide. And how good it is to find that mate that you have been looking for to live with the rest of your life. How good it is to walk before God in a scriptural relationship, knowing that all is well and enjoying the benefits of marriage, the intimacy, the companionship, the support, and all that God has placed in that relationship. We need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 often. It tells us what love will do. We'll talk this week about the prescription for a happy home. It obviously comes from God, who is our creator. We look in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and chapter 5, and we'll look and see, and we can see the walks that a Christian ought to have leading all the way up to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, which is a comparison between marriage and, of course, the relationship that Jesus has with his church. And the book of 1 Peter in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, subjects, submission and subjection. The example of Jesus Christ himself tells us how to live in that relationship. So when we talk about the blessings of a godly family, folks, it begins with marriage. And Jesus has already alluded to the fact that, yes, when we follow him, we're going to have relationships. And one of those relationships we're going to have, of course, is marriage. Second of all, folks, I want us to recognize parents. Let's first of all talk about fathers. And we talk about fathers, of course, because God, in the very beginning, he looked up at the man. And God addressed this man back in the book of Genesis in chapter 18. We're talking about the patriarchal dispensation. Turn with me in your Bible in the book of Genesis in chapter 18. This was shortly in Genesis in chapter 18. I want you to notice the context here. Genesis in chapter 18. I want you to look at verse 19. God says, Genesis chapter 18 at verse 19. I want you to notice verse 17. God says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And here it is, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord Jehovah may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Early on, we see that God is revealing to us what he expects of a father through Abraham himself. He helps us to understand the man's responsibility in the home. Look, if you will, just a little bit further in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 2, if you will. And I think this is important because you see it not only at the very beginning of the Bible, you see it in the book of Proverbs in chapter 30 at verse 5, you see it at the very end of the Bible. That fathers should have respect for God and for His word. God says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. If we would keep that at the forefront of our minds, men, and we teach to our children and we exemplify that in our lives, respect God, respect His word. These messages that God has given us from heaven is to direct our lives. And when we do that, we're going to be blessed. Look, if you will, dive down to verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And listen, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. We must not forget God. And we must not forget His word. Oh, we can know that God exists because of His power and His wisdom and His glory and His majesty. All we have to do is look in creation and we can see that this universe was created by an all-powerful, supernatural, intelligent being. It was a psalmist who said in Psalm 19 at verse 1, the heaven declared the glory of God, and the firmament showed forth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech and night unto night. There's no language where their voice is not heard. But then we open up this book, and this book explains to us where we come from, why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. And fathers are instructed to take God's word and live them ourselves and be an example to our wives and our children. And if men would do that, this world would not be so corrupt. Because we open up this book, the Bible talks about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But God has revealed it. How? By His Spirit. We're talking about the blessings of a godly family. And I tell you something, folks. Most fathers would be grateful and humbled to be chosen as Father of the Year. There are a lot of fathers that we could talk about in the Bible. But I want you to think about for just a moment. Being chosen by God as the best man in the world. Let me show you what I mean. I want you to look in your Bibles in the book of Mark in chapter 6. The book of Mark in chapter 6. There's not much said about him, but I tell you what, when we look at the life of this man, there is much to be said. The Bible tells me in the book of Mark in chapter 6, I want you to notice at verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Jesus was a carpenter. Do you get the implication? That was the livelihood of Joseph, who was a carpenter. The Bible tells me Jesus lived in subjection to them. He grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with man. There is a lesson for us young folks, and we'll talk about walking before God and be blameless, because we're going to talk about some things they don't teach in school. But Jesus was a carpenter. That's because Joseph was a carpenter. And he was subject to his parents. Joseph's name's not even mentioned in this verse. There were other children. But think about it. Joseph was trusted to bring up the child Jesus. What a tremendous and a genuine character he must have possessed. What wisdom, what understanding, what patience and goodness and tact. And yes, what spirituality he must have had. Look over in the book of Matthew in chapter 1 at verse 19. Matthew in chapter 1 at verse 19. The Bible says, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to put her away, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Of course, you know the story. Mary was with child, but it wasn't Joseph. He knew, she knew, and we'll talk about Mary in just a moment. But these were the folks that God had decided that the child would be born. We're talking about incarnation, God becoming man, and he placed them in this family. You think a wonderful example Joseph was, and again, not much is said about Joseph in our text. But Joseph knew that they had not had relationship, and he knew that she would. And the angel came and told Joseph the background of all of that. And when Joseph understood, he took her to be his wife. And there are a lot of men who will raise someone else's child. But all the implication of all of this, Joseph was the one. And not much is said about Joseph. But in addition to his responsibility of rearing Jesus, he had 6 children of his own. He had 4 sons, and they're mentioned by name, and there were at least 2 daughters whose names are not given. And 2 of his sons played a prominent role in the life of the church, writing books. And how much James and Jude owed to their father Joseph for their spiritual success, only the Lord knows that. But doubtless they owed him a lot. Let me tell you what a good father will do. A good father will provide for his own. A good father is a worker. The Bible tells me in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, if any provide not for his own, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel. Joseph provided for his own. He rules by love. I'm talking about a father. I'm talking about the blessings of a godly family that often comes back when you see your children and you see your children's children. He corrects his children. He doesn't constantly scold them. He looks for opportunities to praise his children, because sometimes we fail to understand what discipline is all about. Discipline is not always negative. It can be. But there is positive discipline. When our children are doing what's right, we commend them. You're doing the right thing, son. You're doing the right thing, daughter. And when they get out of line, like that military term, when they step out of line, we help bring them back in line in accordance with the word of God. He tells them the truth. Let me repeat that. He tells his children the truth. And he is honest in his dealings. He lives the truth. He walks before God and he is not ashamed. He has nothing to hide. He seeks God and his kingdom first. This is the kind of father that is the one who exemplifies what his sons and his daughters should seek in a mate. He strives to be impartial and fair with his children. He finds time to associate with them, to get to know them so they can get to know him. The good father finds time to go places with his family. Talking about blessings, folks. Talking about blessings of a godly family. I'm reminded of this dad, like any good father would do, was taking his family on vacation. Mom sitting up front, 2 little boys in the back, and they're just going at each other. He's looking at me. He's touching me. Daddy said, don't make me stop this car. Well, they kept it up. He's looking at me. He's touching me. Daddy said, don't make me stop this car. Well, they kept it up. Dad stopped the car, got him out, wore him out. Put him back in the car. He said, I don't want to hear another word. Drove off. About 25 miles later, The littlest one, he had enough courage. He said, Daddy, when you spanked me back there, my shoe fell off. They're going to be trying times, folks. But a father understands that he was a son himself. And they people. And they little people. And fathers understand that. They understand the difference between making the mistake and rebellion. And finally, and most importantly, the good father brings his children to God. He knows that the children are gifts from God. They are heritage of God. God entrusts us with these young people. And he knows how to live blameless before God with nothing to hide. Second of all, parents, mothers. The Bible says a lot about mothers, but for time, the worthy woman in the book of Proverbs in chapter 30 at verse 20. She takes care of her children. She provides for them. Yes, she works outside the home, but not to the neglect of her home and family. But let me tell you something else. There is reverence in this home. The Bible tells me in the book of Proverbs chapter 31 verse 28, her children rise up and call a blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I'm talking to you, men. What we should be teaching our children. Respect for their mothers. So those children will grow up and they will know who their mother is. And there are many good mothers that we could talk about in the Bible. But he leads the way with respect for that woman. He leads the way so his children will know who their mother is. Who is the one who provides? Who is the one who manages the home? Who is the one who has all those jobs within the home? And he leads the way with thanksgiving. And he thanks her often for all the good things you do. Thanks for washing the clothes. Thanks for cooking all the meals you cook. Thanks for all the sacrifices. Let me tell you what, women are lacking in homes because the fathers are not leading the way. But there are many women who excel. Talking about Mary, I want you to look in your Bibles with me, the book of Luke in chapter 1. The book of Luke in chapter 1. And I'm sure you're familiar with what is called the Magnificat. Mary here, of course, ascribes glory to God. A worthy woman, indeed, of high esteem, as praised by the angel Gabriel. Look at verse 28. When the angel appeared, there were only two appearances by angels that are named, if you remember. But this was a special occasion when the angel came. The Bible says, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Could God say the same thing about you, women, mothers? Highly favored one, to such a one that he would allow you to raise the Christ child. Blessed are you among women. You have found favor with God, verse 30. And of course, as praised by her cousin Elizabeth, blessed are you among women, blessed is she who believed. And let me tell you, Mary, there's so much that was said about her. She knew of all people what ultimately would happen to Jesus. This son of yours is set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And while Joseph is not spoken much throughout, Mary has also appeared all the way up into the book of Acts. And then we hear no more about Mary. And yes, she's a human being. And she's to be praised. But not as she is in some religious circles. Because only God is to be worshipped. But Mary sets for us an example of the kind of woman, the blessings that we enjoy. God has given us mothers. And women whose heart is set on God are those kinds of women who help us to understand, again, why God created us in the first place. They exemplify what true love is in that special role of submission and subjection that God has placed them in. And in the wisdom of God, God knew exactly what he was doing. And so we fast forward, of course, to some other women. Like it is in so many places. Look in 2 Timothy, if you will, in chapter 1. 2 Timothy in chapter 1. And I want you to notice very carefully. The text will come very clear to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is to Timothy, Paul writing at least two letters to this preacher. He calls him his only son, or his beloved son, I should say. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Think about that for just a moment. Do you see the challenge before us as parents, especially what mothers so oftentimes do? Our children need to grow up with a faith of their own. And yes, even though the Bible teaches us that fathers are the ones who are to bring up their children to earth, the mother is the one who spends perhaps more of the time with them. And she is the one who oftentimes is the one who by example also molds them and molds their minds and molds their mind for a heart for God. So those children can grow up with nothing to hide. So those young people can grow up with integrity. Integrity is what you're all about. Character. Being genuine, being for real. And so a child is to be following in the footsteps, yes, of his father and yes, his mother. And I would urge all mothers to be like Lois and Eunice. And so to instruct their children. That they may lay hold on eternal life. A good mother provides for her children's physical needs. She is a companion to her children. She rejoices to be a mother. And I've met many of them, and I no doubt there are many here. I've heard women who say, all I've ever wanted to be was just a wife and to be a mother. I want to be the woman that God wants to look at me and see, I want to fulfill my role, my God-given role, to be a helper. To be a helper to my husband and to be a helper to my children. Those little people that God will bless in those relationships that will grow up and they will be the same kind of people that their parents were. And I'm so grateful that God has put me in this position. And may their tribe increase. Because there's so many women who want their careers, and there's nothing wrong with that. She can work outside the home. That's not what we're talking about. But not to the neglect of their homes and families. We know nothing of Timothy's grandfathers. His father was a Greek. But we do know that Timothy's mother and his grandmother were genuine Christians. And a spiritual ancestry is very more important than the physical and material considerations. Timothy was taught of God through the scriptures from the time that he was a child. We're in 2 Timothy. Go fast forward to chapter 3. Look, if you will, at verse 14. Verse 14. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Who did you learn them from? From mother. From grandmother. And listen, father should be included in that. From mother, from grandmother. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is so good to look in this assembly and see all these young people. And you parents and you grandparents are to be commended. And I'm going to tell you something, young people, you're on the right track. You are on the right track because God has some good things in store for you in this troubled world in which we live, where children are not blessed to know what you know and what you can know about God, your Creator, and the blessings that God wants to bestow upon you. And so many of them come with those protectors of our children, the mothers that God gives us. And then, of course, not exhausted children. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 10, the Bible tells me a wise son, and I take this to be not generic specific. A wise son as well as a wise daughter maketh a glad father, maketh a glad mother also. A good son as well as a good daughter practices self-discipline early in their life. You know why, folks? Because they have been taught that there is pain associated with wrongdoing. We've got to teach our children that. And yes, it is good for a man and a woman to bear the yoke in their youth. Lamentation chapter 3 at verse 27. And when she becomes accountable, they obey Jesus Christ and they willingly bear their yoke. And again in the book of Proverbs in chapter 31 at verse 29. Many daughters and sons also have done virtuously, but thou excellest them. Let me tell you, in godly families, folks, you see the excelling of character. People who have been taught by God and they can walk and live blameless lives. Nothing to hide. Yes, a good daughter, as well as a son, will adorn themselves with modest apparel. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. And modesty is a subject today that needs to be impressed upon each one of us. Because it contributes to lust. A good daughter is chaste. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. She places great emphasis on the hidden person of the heart and the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a very precious price. 1 Peter 3 at verse 4. And of course, they're taught from a very young age. Children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it might be well with you, that you might live long on this earth. And none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, yet even the rest of the day. But both sons and daughters in an ideal home are going to remember the instructions that are given, so that above all, we obey God. We follow the example of Jesus Christ. Because though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. So Jesus is our example. And he gives us instructions for the blessings we can enjoy as godly people in our homes and families. So we enjoy those blessings here. Did you notice where we begin? Mothers, plural. Fathers, plural. We've all been enriched. The teaching, the hospitality, the training, the example of other Christians, some of them gone past, and some still among us. And even our teachers, children can teach us. And how we benefit in this relationship that we have called the family of God. Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereupon the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The blessings of a godly family are manifold when we have come to understand that God is our Father, and these blessings are ours. They can be ours if we will turn our hearts to God and learn how to live blameless lives. Thank you for your attention.